Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffee Grande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Coming up on Stu Does America. Donald Trump has taken his experts' advice and extended the nationwide quarantine through April 30th. But let me guess, Democrats still aren't happy. Am I close? Rachel Maddow made a bold prediction last week. We shove it back in her face today. It's so satisfying. And if you thought Jeffy's life was strange when interacting with society in general, imagine how weird it gets in quarantine. If you're watching and listening to us for free on YouTube, Facebook, and podcasts, thank you for doing that and investing your time. Please take a moment to subscribe to us there and rate and review how we're doing, especially if it's great or whatever. So if you are one of the people on Blaze TV already, we love you. Thank you so much. We'll see you this weekend at the Yacht Party. Responsibly distance, of course. If you'd like to also party with us on Glenn Beck's yacht, consider subscribing to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/stew. If you use the promo code Stu today, you'll get our special quarantine discount. $30 knocked off the price. Can't beat that. You thought we were going to be free by Easter, but alas, keep loading those Netflix queues, people, because we're going to be living indoors for a long, long time. To which I say, hell yes.
Stu Does America.
Welcome to the crappiest soap opera imaginable. Tons of drama, life and death situations, and absolutely terrible acting. First, let's get you caught up. Yesterday, Donald Trump extended his guidelines for social distancing for another month. Watch.
The better you do, the faster this whole nightmare will end. Therefore, we will be extending our guidelines to April 30th to slow the spread.
Yes, life sucks right now, but at least it's still life. And one good thing, at least you're not thinking out about the next election because, at least we have that going for us. Unfortunately, you are not the same as your average media member or Democrat. Regarding a New York Times story titled, U.S. now has more known cases than any other country, GQ magazine correspondent Julia Ioffe tweeted, who's the asshole country now? it's a great tweet. Julia, hope you're proud of yourself. Speaking of terrible soap opera level acting, here is the princess of Botox herself.
As the president fiddles, people are dying, and we just have to take every precaution.
Mm. Speaker Pelosi, when you say that the president's denial was deadly, he obviously downplayed the risks of coronavirus for several weeks, and it wasn't until I think about 2 weeks ago that he started acknowledging the gravity of the crisis. But are you saying that his downplaying ultimately cost American lives?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am. After sharing a New York Times article titled The U.S. Now Leads the World in Coronavirus Cases, Clinton, Hillary, yes, her, offered up this little bit of comedy gold.
He did promise America first.
See, that's because first place in deaths. Think about this for a second. We're talking about a national tragedy. And she's making wise-ass comments about how many people are dying. This woman was almost president. Hillary wasn't done. She also tweeted, a month ago, Trump said it's going to disappear one day. It's like a miracle. It will disappear. Yesterday, he said, I don't believe you need 40 or 30,000 ventilators. What will it take to make real Donald Trump listen to experts instead of his own hunches? Yeah. What will it take? This is the typical criticism of Trump from the left. He's either so egotistic or stupid or reckless that he will ignore the experts and just go with his gut. And sure, you can go back to February and find some flippant words from the president, along with every other politician on earth. For example, Nancy Pelosi herself.
It's exciting to be here, especially at this time, to be able to be unified with our community. We want to be vigilant about what might be on the what is out there in other places. We want to be careful about how we deal with it. But we do want to say to people, come to Chinatown. Here we are. We're, again, careful, safe, and come join us.
Come join us in Chinatown. I'm Nancy Pelosi. Or how about our good old friend Bill de Blasio?
It's important to just go about your lives, continue living as you have. New Yorkers should go about our lives, continue doing what we do. This should not stop you from going about your life, should not stop you from going to Chinatown and going out to eat. We want people still to go on about their lives. We want people to rest assured that a lot is being done to protect them.
Yeah, you should be fine. Don't worry about it. And might I remind you of the words of the new Democratic golden child, Andrew Cuomo, not from February, but from mid-March.
What is the bottom line? What does this mean? People are reacting like this is the Ebola virus. This is not the Ebola virus. This hysteria that you see, this fear that you see, the panic that you see, is unwarranted.
Unwarranted panic. That's the story of coronavirus in New York City. And if you want to go back to January, you get Trump banning most flights from China and instituting the first national quarantine through the CDC in 50 years. This highlights the split between the media thesis on Trump and reality. It's like we're all watching the news and they're trying to convert it into some late season soap opera with all the associated drama. We have people dying in real life here, and perhaps now isn't the time for your fan fiction version of General Hospital. I get that you don't like what he's saying, but what is he doing? He took the recommendations of the experts and made draconian recommendations, allowing you to power through the entire run of Tiger King. And when that 15 days was coming to a close, he now added another month. Is Trump taking this seriously? Do you think he wanted to shut the economy down for 6 weeks in the middle of an election year? He did it because he believes it would be the right thing for the country. Dr. Fauci and others have repeatedly backed up these decisions as prudent. Yet the media continually is vilifying him anyway, constantly trying to increase the drama. Maybe Dr. Fauci is actually Dr. Fauci's evil twin, like in every soap opera, who has his medical expert doctor locked away underneath the White House. At least that would be entertaining. This is just boring, honestly. The left and media have built this image of Trump being a virus denialist so much that when he takes massive steps never before seen in modern history to stop the spread, he's still not doing enough. They just can't give him credit. In fact, when Trump mentioned a quarantine of New York, it was Andrew Cuomo, Democratic golden boy, who was complaining because it was too restrictive. He used the highly, and I think this is something that maybe came from a medical textbook, the highly scientific grounds that it wasn't very neighborly.
Have you spoken to the governor of Rhode Island? And if so, how did you convince her to take back the sort of travel issue?
I spoke to the governor of Rhode Island yesterday, and we had a conversation. I don't think the order was called for. I don't believe it was legal. I don't believe it was neighborly. I understood the point, but I thought there were different ways to do it. And the governor of Rhode Island was very receptive, and I thank her very much for reconsidering her position.
Wasn't neighborly. You can't come in within 6 feet of anyone else. It's called social distancing. It's the exact opposite of neighborly. Though, to be fair, since this thing started, I have talked to my neighbors exactly as often as I did before. Also, we can take a quick minute to realize that Joe Biden, think about this, is so bad. They want to replace him with that guy. Absolutely incredible. Now, of course, there is a mirror image of this as well. There are plenty on the right who have been among the most skeptical of the virus and are lighting up the government for the economic shutdown, but rarely seem to take shots at the guy making all the announcements at the podium. And sure, there are a lot of people on the right who seem very skeptical of scary health projections, but are super willing to accept the most catastrophic horror movie economic projections without really any question. But let me posit a nearly unthinkable thesis for so many that are so certain of everything here. Maybe, just maybe, Trump is actually doing a good job. I know this is crazy, and it's a crazy thought, but maybe he's striking a pretty good balance with this thing so far. maybe he's showing a little skepticism to both sides, and maybe that's the correct approach. To please the left, you'd have to shut the economy down until, like, let's say 9 seconds after the polls close on election day to pick a completely random date and time. And to please some on the right, Trump would need to personally be setting up Kanye West concerts where you can only gain entry by sneezing on others. But instead, Trump presented a 2-week window with a promise to look at the results. The 2 weeks ended. He looked at the information with an eye toward the projected peak of deaths in 2 weeks and expanded the guidelines for another 30 days. Importantly, these have all been recommendations, preserving what little shred of a constitution we seem to have during this crisis. Would you rather have Governor Baby Killer in blackface? Because he's now requiring everyone in Virginia to basically stay inside until June 10th. Is Trump's approach the right approach? Look, I don't want anyone to have to kind of reevaluate their priors here. I know that can be scary. So if you're on one side, you can convince yourself that Trump isn't engaged and that Fauci is making all the decisions. And if you're on the other side, Trump is just being manipulated by Fauci or whatever. Either way, we know if we only did exactly what you recommended, everything would have been perfect. Congrats, and hold on tightly to that. But entering into a situation where the negative effects on both sides are devastating, it's probably best to take the information as it becomes available and act based on that information. This is a pretty unique situation. The negatives are huge and immediate, and we don't have reliable information. It's the sort of thing that makes you wonder why you wanted this job in the first place. No matter what Trump does, everyone is going to say he blew it and cite the one eventual study that backs up their position most enthusiastically. And believe me, you will get both sides of that in peer-reviewed literature for every blue mark, you know, on Twitter to screenshot. That's the way this works. There's a version of Trump that we were told of that exists in a lot of people's minds that would have had him, you know, blowing off human lives for him to win an election or line his pockets. Well, that version of Trump keeps forgetting to show up to work. It doesn't make for a great soap opera, but it might just make for the best move in a truly horrible situation. You know, you're probably bored at home a little bit, dealing with the whole coronavirus quarantine situation, gone through all the Netflix shows you can possibly muster. Well, you're not the only person who's bored at home right now. You know who else is bored looking for things to do? Hackers. People who are looking to steal your information. People who might try to steal your home and its equity. It's called home title fraud, and it's one of the fastest growing crimes in America. If you are in this boat, you're a homeowner, you got some equity built up, you're the target. You know who gets targeted most with this are the people who've done it right their whole lives. People who've made every mortgage payment, have good credit, have built up a bunch of equity, have had their home go up in value, and then they are the targets of home title fraud. It's a terrible situation. If it happens to you, it's a complete nightmare. You don't want to have to try to unwind this. People are bored. Hackers have extra time on their hands. Protect your home with Home Title Lock. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. It's pennies a day, and you can get 1 month of free protection if you use the offer code STEW. 1 month of free protection at HomeTitleLock.com. I've had Home Title Lock now for years and years. I know my home title is protected. Yours should be too. Join the club. HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com. The promo code is STEW. CNN's still in the air during the crisis, thankfully, and always able to give us a little bit of a lesson, and so we can understand the news a little bit better. This tweet showing a scene from CNN was incredibly helpful. It says, Trump incorrectly states the U.S. has tested more than anyone. Per capita, South Korea has done 5 times more. Italy, 4 times more. There's so many issues with this, and I'm gonna try to narrow it down because we don't have enough time in the show to go through all of them. But here's the thing. That what their observation is actually true. The per capita number has not been as high in the United States as it's been in those countries. Is that important? I don't know. I mean, they're saying basically it's a lie. Trump says, hey, we've done the most testing. They say, no, you haven't. Per capita is this. Well, he didn't say per capita. You know, so you could give him the benefit of the doubt and say, well, hey, he's right overall, but we should note per capita is a little bit different. That's one part of it here. The other part that I kind of take issue with is they were making a big deal out of per capita, but when it comes to the bad things about COVID-19, they never mention per capita. For example, how many deaths have happened? Well, the U.S. leads the world in cases now. It's not deaths, but it's cases. We lead the world. Well, that's true. Do we lead the world per capita? No, not even close. We don't even come close to leading the world per capita. But see, that would be good for the administration, for the country. So CNN won't bring that up. They'll judge that one on total number, and they'll judge this one on per capita. It's really annoying, and it's a typical media trick that they do all the time. Let me give you a couple things that I think are important. Number one, the per capita measure is sort of not really, it doesn't make all that much sense to use it, I don't think, anywhere. They use it because it hurts the president in this one particular case. But the United States is really, it's not like these other countries. It's very spread out. There's a lot of different areas. I think the best thing you can do, and the New York Times upshot, their section of the website, is doing a good job trying to break this down, I think. They probably are doing the best job out of anybody right now with this, trying to break this down into specific regions and specific outbreaks. So you look at New York as opposed to the United States, where New York is half of all the cases in the United States. There's not that much value to it. You have to know where an outbreak is, how much it's spreading, and look at that outbreak sort of together. So you might look, maybe not even all of Italy, just the northern part of Italy. You wouldn't look at all of China. You'd look at just Wuhan. I mean, China's per capita rate is almost like it didn't even exist in China. And we have no idea what their actual numbers are. Maybe we'll go through some of that stuff tomorrow because that's fascinating as well. But what he said about the testing is true, and it's important to understand this. When this whole situation started, the U.S. was a little slow getting into real heavy testing. We've been over the causes of that. Largely, it was bureaucracy in the United States with the CDC. There were some other factors at play as well. They want to kind of throw this on Donald Trump. It's not really fair or accurate to do so. But it was there was a slow start here in the United States. When we made this a priority and the government made this a priority, hey, we got to start testing. Let's unleash the private sector on this. Let's ramp this up. Let's test as many people as we can. You know, people were hammering them at the beginning of that because it was just slowly increasing. Well, that's totally changed. And the narrative has totally disappeared. We have the death of a narrative. One of the unforeseen COVID-19 deaths is the death of the media narrative that we're not testing enough. Here is the chart. I think we're doing per day first. Yeah, here we go. How many tests per day? You see, and if you're listening on radio, I'll describe, really from the beginning of March all the way up to mid-March, you had almost no tests. I mean, that was when they were really starting to get them already. They started ramping them up about mid-March and slowly went up. They hit what South Korea was doing, who was used as the gold standard, right about the 16th of March, have increased that every day. From 15,000, which was about South Korea was doing, up to 30,000, about the 19th or so, up to 60,000 per day, about the 24th of March, and has been up around 100,000 per day for the past few days. That's a remarkable improvement in a very short period of time where the U.S. decided to unleash itself, unleash its private sector, and get us tests. That is, of course, also why we lead the nation and we lead the world in positive COVID-19 tests because we lead the world in tests. We're testing a lot of people. We're getting we don't know how many people China has tested because they will not release that information. Another odd thing to do in this sort of crisis, especially when it starts in your country, you don't even release the information so other scientists can look at it. That's a little weird, strange behavior there. But we've ramped this up very quickly. Here's the total amount chart. This goes up to yesterday. And we are going to pass 1 million people tested in this country as of today. We're about 900,000 as of yesterday. So we'll probably be either at or slightly above 1 million total tests. That's a really, we've come a long way in a short period of time. And that is something that we should be happy about. We're also, we should also understand that it makes no difference what the total case amount is. We've been preaching this for how many weeks now? Don't look at the total cases chart. It's only a function of how many people are getting tested in a particular country. We know we have millions and millions and millions of active COVID-19 cases now. We know we probably have millions and millions and millions of cases that have come and gone with very little or no symptoms. That is not an important number right now. That's something that scientists can look back after and try to get a real mortality rate. This is what they do, case fatality ratio afterwards. They'll try to get that done. But right now, it really doesn't make any difference. The media is trying to pump these numbers up because they look bad. And what did we say? We said this on this stupid show. If you listen to this or watch the show every night, you know this. We entered a period between 2 to 4 weeks where our testing numbers are going to go through the roof. So our case numbers are going to go through the roof. And we're going to be sacrificing a hell of a lot. That's where we are right now. And it's going to feel like it's not working. And much of the media is going to tell you it's not working because of the fact that our case numbers are going up and our deaths are going up. There's a 2-week lag about, we've seen in other countries, where if you can keep these tight restrictions on and people actually follow them, which is a question, then your case rates will go down. That's what we can hope for. It's the only thing we can hope for right now. We're in the middle of this anyway. We've got a month more of this to go. So let's hope for the best results, whether you agree with the policy or not. At this point, we just hope it freaking works so we can get back to normal life. I want to give you this this amazing thing from Rachel Maddow, because as usual, when Donald Trump says he wants to do something, it's MSNBC's job to come in and say, actually, what he's doing is terrible and it's not going to work. Now, look, I think if you come to the show, you have at least some idea that you want somebody who's going to be at least attempting to call balls and strikes on this stuff. You know, I don't come into this as a Trump cheerleader. If you've watched me or you've been here for a long time, like, I think Donald Trump's done some really good things, done some things I don't like, too. And I don't mind telling you. And if you don't want to watch the show, well, you know, I mean, I can't, there's not much I can do for you. Same thing goes from the MSNBC side. If Trump does something good, you can't come to me and expect I'm going to tell you it's bad. I would rather have someone who's at least trying from their own perspective to tell me whether they think this is good or not. There's too many people who are doing the one-sided thing where they just say anything Trump does is good, anything Trump does is bad, and that is the sort of metric they gauge themselves on. Maddow's, you know, turned into one of these people for sure. She was talking about the efforts by the president to bring in a military ship to house a bunch of people who would be in the hospital otherwise to New York, and how long that would take. This is what she said.
In terms of the happy talk we've had on this front from the federal government, there is no sign that the Navy hospital ships that the president made such a big deal of, the Comfort and the Mercy, there's no sign that they'll be anywhere on site helping out anywhere in the country for weeks yet. The president said when he announced that those ships would be put into action against the COVID-19 epidemic, he said one of those ships would be operational in New York Harbor by next week. That's nonsense. It will not be there next week.
Here's a picture of New York Harbor today, which would also be the next week, and from her terms. And there it is, the Comfort pulling into the harbor. Exactly what they said. And again, you can. This is the problem when you're MSNBC. You know, you can doubt any politician. You can doubt Donald Trump if you want. Don't doubt the military. Don't do that. That's not a good idea because they pull stuff off all the time. You do not want to doubt them. So the Comfort is there and ready to go. It is a big deal. And thankfully, thank God. In fact, it was a big historic moment as you have this ship pulling into the harbor. Like, this is, imagine being in New York City right now. You'd probably be very curious to go out and see it. Of course, you wouldn't be an idiot because the whole point is you're not supposed to go out and be really close to people. Luckily, New Yorkers forgot about that little lesson and really wanted to take in the history of the moment. So here they are all out there looking at the ship as it comes in, all like 4 feet away from each other or closer, as they watch the ship that will be there for extra hospital beds in the middle of a pandemic. They're all crowded tightly. Taken in the sights, the brilliance of too many people in New York. Though I will say, as a New Yorker myself, I was born in New York, used to work there as well. I'm allowed to make fun of New Yorkers. You're not. For you, it's racist. But for me, it's okay to say it. Just so you know, there's a lot of stupid people everywhere. But that is, I mean, especially when it's a ship that's being brought into the harbor because you don't have enough hospital beds because of the current pandemic going on. Probably not the best sightseeing event for all of you guys to crowd around and watch. It's just a suggestion. Take it for what it's worth. But in the future, maybe watch it from your apartment window next time. Back in a second.
Hey, hey, what do you say? How is Alexandria a victim today?
We know there is a truism here that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is always the victim of something. It's always somebody trying to put her down. And today, it's going to be someone on her own side of the aisle. The Justice Democrats are very upset. They're the people who basically recruited her and gave her the kind of the audition to try out to be a congressperson. Who wants to be a congressperson? How about you? Yeah, she just served a wonderful Miller Lite at the bar. Now she's ready. Well, she's in Congress already, and the Justice Democrats are expecting her to do her thing because obviously she ran against a well-financed incumbent, person who had been the Democratic Party for decades and was able to pull this off. So now they've got her in there. She's the most famous Democrat in the world, and she gets to come out and support left-wing Justice Democrats candidates. Only problem is now she's been in Congress and she's got the power, and those endorsements aren't coming as easy anymore. So sorry about that. I'll talk to you next time. Yes, she's actually not endorsing the candidates they want her to endorse anymore because now she's buddies with all these incumbents, right? She has to work with them every day. If she supports one of their opponents, bad things can happen to her. And of course, that's never the right thing. So people like the Young Turks, who were one of the people who, Cenk or whatever his name is, who just started Justice Democrats, is all pissy about this and is yelling about it on Twitter. But Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has only really one thing to consider in her life, which is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. AOC cares about AOC. That's it. Not more to the story than that. It's just that she cares about herself. So when she makes decisions, those decisions are what will help her the most. It's kind of what she does. That's why she always sees herself as the victim in every one of these stories. That's why we can continue to do this stupid song that runs through your head every single time we run it. We can do it over and over and over again because every situation is the same. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is the victim, and she'll always find a way to get herself there because she sees every story through a victim-oppressor sort of relationship, and she sees every story in relation to herself versus everyone else. So she's always able to kind of nestle in there as the victim to any storyline. Today, the victim of her own side, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Yes, she's always the victim, and that's how she's a victim today.
Hey, hey, what do you say? How is Alexandria a victim today?
She always is, isn't she? The Kennedy Center got a bunch of money in the stimulus package, which you may have heard about. There was supposed to be $35 million at first, and then they lowered it to only $25 million. Now, one of the things you want to do in a pandemic is, of course, direct as much money as you can to a venue that would keep a lot of people seated closely together, watching something in front of them, so they can all be kind of nestled in there and pass the coronavirus back and forth to each other. Great idea right from the start. They got $25 million, and right after they got it, they immediately decided to stop paying their musicians, which is... If there's anything that could be more predictable than this, I think Harvard had the same situation where they had like a $40 billion endowment. And they're like, those people who work at the food halls, we don't need to pay them anymore. See you later. See you later, suckers. Get out. This is the way of the world, you have to understand. And it kind of gives you this mindset of like when you get to a certain level of privilege, when you get to a certain level of power, you don't really care about these little side things, you know, people's lives, their well-being and their livelihood. Get away, okay? Scoot, skedaddle. That's kind of the way it works. And it's interesting to see this because you kind of always have this this idea that if you can get sort of to those elite circles, you get elite-level benefits. It's like if you're getting the platinum level at, you know, with American Airlines. You get kind of the cool, you get to go into the special room, you get the special seats, you get the little compartments, you get the little more leg room, maybe get some free drinks. And then at the end of the day, you also get to do whatever you want with whoever's life that you want. It's kind of a nice benefit, I'll be honest with you. We're seeing this in Hungary now. This is happening. This was something that was kind of predicted by a lot of people. Seemed like Hungary was going the way of authoritarianism, potentially. And one of the things, and this is another thing we should get into this week, is there is always, when you have a situation like this, there's a lot of people who want to take advantage of that. They want to grab power and they want to hold on to the power after the pandemic is gone. And it looks like that's what we're seeing in Hungary right now. The parliament just voted to give the prime minister power. And it's just this power. It's no big deal. State of emergency without time limit. Rule by decree. Kind of do whatever he wants. Parliament suspended. Who needs them? Go home. Have a break. no elections. Well, that just seems just, I mean, too much work anyway. I mean, think of how much work it is. Go down there, you got to press the little lever. It's a real pain. So no more elections. If you spread what they call fake news and rumors, you can get up to 5 years in prison. And if you leave quarantine, you can get up to 8 years in prison. Now, some of these things, obviously leaving quarantine, not a good idea. I think here so far, at least at the federal level, we've seen a restraint from authorities to try to push down these sort of onerous regulations on people with, you know, at least as far as backing it with legal force. States and localities have not been so generous with that. A lot of force being used there. Not a positive thing. I will say, if you're in that sort of elite circle, though, it works out well for you. You get to kind of do whatever you want. There's a new thing going on now. This is in California, where they are having new escape communities. Now, this is an interesting thing. If you, there's a, the, one of the New York Times columnists who writes about health wrote an interesting piece, or I think it was a video, actually, now that I think about it. But it was a video where he was talking about maybe it's okay for if you have your family and there's another family that you have, maybe there's, you know, you have kids or whatever, and they're both friends, and you're friends with them, maybe you can kind of like have one family in which you kind of can still mingle with, right? As long as they're not mingling with other families and you're not mingling with other families, it's almost like you're kind of like in the same family, a larger family, right? This is kind of the concept here. What they're going to do is they're going to take 33 guests and make sure that they're all COVID-19 free and then move them all to a luxury resort where they can all kind of hang out together and they can do all sorts of stuff. Don't not worry about the infection because they're already tested. I don't know if it's a good idea. I will say once you get into that house with 33 people that you don't know, and some of them suck, you're gonna be rethinking that one pretty fast. But probably better than being in your house with the three people you live with and you don't like them either. It's just a matter of imagine if you're like pitching that to your wife. Look, I think just me and you kind of hanging out, not really enough for me. Want to go to the swinger community? I mean the escape community. We'll talk about that in a minute. Also, let's go to Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci talking about some dire predictions as to what may be coming with COVID-19.
And whenever the modelers come in, they give a worst case scenario and a best case scenario. Generally, the reality is somewhere in the middle. I've never seen a model of the diseases that I've dealt with, which the worst case scenario actually came out. They always overshoot. So when you use numbers like a million and a half, 2 million, that almost certainly is off the chart.
All right, so now, we can stump this. He went on to say there's 100,000 or 200,000, but listen to the way he's setting that up. He's obviously noting that there's a big issue there with the high projections being the one that get all the attention. It could be a lot lower than that. I will say this, though. Would you rather get COVID-19 or get a COVID-19 test? Look at the diagram of how this test works. I cannot believe this is real. This is basically them jamming a freaking Q-tip to the back of your skull. Look at this. I would say I would tweet it for you if you're listening on audio so you can see the picture. No, I don't want to. I don't want you to have to see it. It's basically back to your ear. Forget it. I'd rather have the disease, I think, than get the test. Jeez, we put a million people through that? Gosh, these rapid tests can't come fast enough. Back in a second. So I had a fully produced segment prepped and ready to go, but you know, Jeffy won't stop dialing our Skype line. So fine, without further ado, it is the host of Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. It's Jeff Fisher. How's it going, Jeff?
Hello. Hello, I finally got through. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
I miss you. I miss seeing you around here.
That's so nice.
When they said, you know, people who are have pre-existing conditions are most susceptible. I was like, Jeffy has all the pre-existing conditions.
This is exactly why I'm on, what, day 12 or 13 of the president's quarantine plan.
Yeah, this is crazy.
This is the end of it, right? This is his 15-day plan, end. So we're that's it. We're free.
It's bizarre. I don't think that's the way this works, first of all. Okay. But I'm shocked at how fast American life has completely changed into something.
Sure.
And the way that we've sort of all kind of accepted it. And we're just like, all right, we're just going to hang out inside for 15 days. No big deal.
We sure have, and I don't know how much longer it can go on, really. I mean, how long the good sheep Americans play along. It feels like that is, if they give us an end date, you know, that end date is what we really need, then we're fine. But without an end date, I don't know how much longer we go.
Yeah, there's got to be a light at the end of the tunnel at some point.
There most certainly doesn't. It feels like already, again, I know I'm using my feelings, but it feels like the light at the end of the tunnel is either a train coming at us or a mirage. I can't figure out which.
Yeah, I know. It's a scary time. So what's life like for Jeffy in quarantine? Because your life kind of is like you're kind of in quarantine all the time in some ways. Has life changed at all? I mean, here's the thing I think this is happening to people all across the country, is I know when my wife goes, she'll go travel with the kids to see their grandparents. And you're know right. When she's gone for like 3 or 4 days, my whole like life falls apart in that, like, I'm just a slob. The house is a mess. I'm eating constantly. This is not giving the American people a couple weeks of good habits.
No, it is not. And time management and scheduling is out the window. You have to rethink that, because you think, well, I don't really have to take a shower. I'm not going anywhere. Whatever. You know, I don't have to. I'm fine. And if you need to take a little break is a nap and at least 2 episodes of whatever show you're binging. Oh. So, I mean, that's it.
I mean, you already watched pretty much every show that came out through every streaming service. You probably have nothing left to watch. Is that accurate?
No. That is not accurate. because CBS All Access has given you a free month.
Oh.
So you've got Picard and you've got Interrogation, I think it's called, plus whatever other CBS All Access shows there are. That's free. And other apps are giving you free months. So you've got plenty of viewing to do.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Now, this is not quarantine. I mean, it's sort of quarantine related, because so many people are sitting around going like, I cannot watch. I don't even know what to watch. Have you watched Tiger King yet?
No.
No. Okay.
It's one of those shows I have to get to, but I spent the last couple days just watching Ozark.
Oh.
Which was I had to get that done and out of the way.
So now
Tiger's next.
Yeah, I spent the entire weekend doing the exact same thing.
Yes.
Because Ozark is fantastic, and I've been waiting for this thing to start. And the fact that it's launching in the middle of a quarantine seems like a sign from heaven that I'm supposed to spend my time watching it.
Yes. And I went back and watched the last 2 or 3 episodes of season 2 and the first 3. I was going to say, well, I'll watch just the first 3 of season 1, and I end up watching just season 1 all over again. And so I was ready. I was primed. I was ready to go.
It is amazing. I thank God. What would have happened if we didn't have the internet in the middle of this? Like, what would have happened if we had to go home and talk to each other for 2 weeks?
Oh, no. We can't have that. No. My wife would have already killed me. She barely wants me here now. Without the internet, though, we are doomed. Oh. I mean, they're already cutting it back, right? We can't watch anything in 8K. We can only watch it in caveman days way back in 2018 in 1 or 2K. That's it. I mean, we're barely surviving with that. And if we lose it completely, we're done.
I will say, looking at us and seeing the problems we're facing and trying to deal with them, the first world problems thing is a little overdone, but I do feel like we're facing this. This is not exactly the greatest generation at this moment, is it?
No, it is not. No.
I mean, we don't seem to be all that tough.
Oh, no, there's no bread on the shelf. I've got to go back home and watch my show. Darn it. I know. I don't know how, but seriously, I don't know how much longer it goes on without some people saying, wait a minute, we can't go anywhere? Mm. You're telling me I can't leave my city? What? Businesses are closing down? Just shutting? The government says shut down, and if you don't shut down, we'll turn your power off? I mean, it's not America with that. It just isn't.
It doesn't feel like it. I've never seen anything. We've been doing this show together for God, thousands of years, it feels like. And we have never experienced anything like this. I mean, we started working together you know, a few months before 9/11, right? I mean, like we went through all that together. And this is nothing. I mean, that was a scary time. It was. I don't want to underplay it. But this is just, I mean, it seems like it's totally an unknown thing. You could go on, you know, you read one source and they say everyone's going to die from this thing. The next source says nobody's going to die and we're just killing the economy for nothing. You know, it is really tough to handle. And it's the strangest thing I've ever been through in my entire life.
And don't forget, after 9/11, they told us to go shop. Yeah. Get out. Go out. This, they're telling us we can't even leave our home. It's incredible.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure how to deal with it at this point. So you've watched the government response to it. What is your take on Trump's handling of all of this? From the beginning, he was kind of pretty skeptical, and he's really went into kind of hardcore a couple weeks ago. Now seems to be kind of coming back into the we need to open things up mode. How do you rate Trump's performance?
I feel like he's really been good. I mean, I think he's handled it as well as I would expect Donald Trump to handle it. I think now that he's coming around to wanting to open things up and realizing that America needs to work and have jobs and things need to be open, then all the people that didn't like him before, that liked him when he started closing everything down, and that became when he was becoming the fascist that they said he already was. Right. Now that he's not the fascist anymore, we're back to hating him again. I don't understand.
It's impossible to keep track of. Somebody said to me, do you think Trump has handled this better or worse than any other president would have? And I said, first of all, Millard Fillmore would have nailed this crisis, okay? Don't even talk to me about that. But, you know, you're looking at it and it's like, well, I feel like a lot of the people who are really skeptical of the disease really turning into this, you know, big deal are the people who are kind of giving Trump a pass on closing everything down. And the people who are saying it's going to be this terrible, terrible thing are the people criticizing for Trump for closing everything down, or at least recommending to do so. The politics of it, I can't even keep track of.
No, you can't. You can't. Day to day, it changes. And one minute we're hating him for calling it something from Chinese, we can't call it Chinese. Okay, so we have to call it just COVID-19. And then the next day we're thanking him for telling General Motors that they have to make ventilators. It doesn't make any sense.
It really doesn't. Because, you know, on Chewing the Fat, you tend to highlight some of the more absurd moments in our world. What have you seen as you've gone through this that's really caught your attention? Is it just the drinking the fish tank cleaner? What else have you seen?
The fish tank cleaner was pretty incredible. We had, I would be on the lookout. People need to be aware that because of the social distancing and staying in their homes, animals are starting to take over the streets. There's mountain lions and coyotes coming into the cities because people aren't out. And they are hungry and they're wondering what's going on. So I would be careful. People in New York are adopting more dogs than ever. The shelters are out of dogs. So when this is over, there's going to be packs of roving dogs in New York because people are just going to kick them to the streets. So be careful. I'm just be on the alert.
It's very true. You can always find all the warnings about how many dogs there are available in any city at any time, of course, from Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. Jeffy, it's good to see you, man. Hopefully I get to see you in person at some point again in my life. Though, as I said, that didn't feel right.
Really?
Yeah.
I almost bought it. So you should have just left it there.
Seriously, be well, man. I mean, you got, you've had some minor health difficulties over the years, and I don't want you really shouldn't be outside at all. I mean, I feel like almost anything could kill you at this point.
I wanted to come into the studio last week, and my wife is like, no, you're not leaving. No, not yet. I mean, we're still in the window. We don't want to get out there.
I will say I would have thought she had the opposite response. But
me too. The kids go, let them go. Let them go.
Jeffy, thanks so much for coming on the show.
See you, man.
Good to see you. In a second. BlazeTV.com/Stu, promo code is Stu. Get $30 off right now. It's a special quarantine deal just for you and anyone else who types in the same web address. We'll see you tomorrow.